Good day, beloved children of God. This is Father Ivan Olmo of St. Mary Catholic Church and School. Today, we will be reflecting on the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Please join me now in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. So what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response, they went away, one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." Heavenly Father, please, we beg you, open our lips to praise your holy name. Cleanse our minds and our hearts of any worthless, evil, or distracting words, feelings, or desires. Please, we beg you, give us the wisdom and the love to pray always with attention, reverence, and true devotion. Father, let our prayer be heard in your presence, for it is offered through Christ, your beloved Son, our beloved Lord. Amen. I love the grace and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I love when we describe the Holy Spirit. We describe the Holy Spirit as the gentleness of a white dove, or as the fire flaming of God's love poured out into our hearts, that it just fills us with so much light, where the Holy Spirit comes to us as movement, spiritual movement within us. Where we hear that when able and unable to pray, that the Holy Spirit groans inside of us. The Holy Spirit is light to us an idea, an inspiration, and a thought that is illumined inside of us as light. And the Holy Spirit is the one who moves our hearts, the one who moves us in the direction to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. The one who sanctifies and purifies us and makes us holy. And I love the prayer that Cardinal Manning had. It's a prayer that I've taken and adapted and made my own, and say often, as often as I can, O Holy Spirit of God, please, I beg you, take me as your disciple. Guide me, illuminate me, sanctify me. Bind my hands that they may do no evil. Cover my eyes that they may see it no more. Sanctify my heart that evil may not dwell within me. Be thou my God. Be thou my guide. Wherever you lead me, I will go. Whatever you forbid me, I will renounce. And whatever you command me, in thy strength, I will do. Lead me, Lord, into the fullness of thy truth. That the Holy Spirit for us is our guide, the one who gives us spiritual direction, the one who's giving us spiritual counseling. And that is a gift and a fruit of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will guide us in moments and will teach us how to discern and to give us a discerning spirit inside of us, so that we can truly discern God's will and our will, to discern the difference between good and evil, and to discern the right path and the wrong way to go. And I always pair this up with the Holy Spirit's gift of fortitude, so that now that we know the righteous thing to do, that we have the courage, that we have the strength to surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit and to fulfill and do God's will. And when we think of the Holy Spirit, and when we think of these gifts, and even when we consider spiritually how he inspires others who guide us, who may provide to us spiritual guidance and counseling and even spiritual direction, to understand what these things are and how the Holy Spirit moves other people who are open to him to inspire others to discern a decision, a vocation, a way of life. When we consider spiritual counseling, what we're saying there is that the Holy Spirit is guiding us, where perhaps two individuals are in impasse and there's no way to move forward. Both people are speaking, but no one is listening. And so through spiritual counseling, we teach people how to listen attentively to one another, and then to be able to speak the truth from our hearts, but with love and charity. When we consider spiritual direction, we consider a long-term relationship where two people enter into a commitment to help one person to understand the direction, the vocation that this person is being guided to by God and the Spirit. Is it a vocation to holy matrimony? Is it a vocation to religious life? Is it a vocation to the priesthood or to consecrated life? What is the Holy Spirit guiding you? Where is the direction that you have been asked in order to live out your life in fulfillment with God's plan and God's will? And ultimately, there's spiritual guidance. These are moments of decisions that are being made, perhaps of family members, perhaps of a career, perhaps just different situations that cause a decision to be made to provide someone the tools to be able to discern and pray, what is God's will? Where is the Holy Spirit guiding you? And then allowing the Holy Spirit to move you in that direction. And certainly there's so many different rules when it comes to this type of spiritual guidance and spiritual direction, and even spiritual counseling. But we ultimately have to allow the Holy Spirit. We have to be open to the Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to be our ultimate guide, our ultimate counselor, our ultimate director. And so these rules remind us how to enter into prayer and to invoke the Holy Spirit. It helps us to understand when to make a decision and when not to make a decision. For example, decisions should be made in joy, in consolation, in openness, when there's clarity of heart and clarity of mind. That's when we make those decisions, because we're able to hear God's voice. But then whenever we're in darkness and desolation, we are asked never to make decisions during this time because we're just not in the right state of mind. We could be in darkness. We could be depressed. We could be in desolation. And those are not times to make decisions. That if we had already made a decision in consolation, we are asked during spiritual discernment and in discernment of the spirits to simply go with the initial decision that was made in consolation. Do not change your heart and do not change your mind during difficult times and desolation and in despair. And so we know also that during these times that we might be hearing different voices. There's a voice of discouragement who tells us we can't do things, or perhaps we're better than we are or less than we really are. So those moments, we want to renounce those voices in discernment. We want to hear the voice of God. God's voice encourages us. It lifts us. Again, it's light, it's inspiration, it's holy. And so these are moments that we learn to listen to God's voice and to follow His lead, to do what God asks us, and to renounce those choices that lead us to sin. Today in the gospel, Jesus teaches us how to be patient, how to turn to God in prayer in difficult moments and difficult situations, to not rely on our own strength and on our own wisdom, which is flawed, to really rely on the strength of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes from God. Again, a gift of the Holy Spirit, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, true discernment. So Jesus is faced with a very difficult decision today. As he's teaching, all of a sudden, he's put to the test by the Pharisees and the scribes that come to him, that are really looking for a way to catch Jesus in a way that they can arrest him and persecute him. And so they put him to the test. And basically, they bring to him a woman. a woman who has been caught in adultery, a woman who perhaps feels very ashamed about what has happened because she has been put in display for other people to see. The things that she has done in darkness or in hidden has been brought to the light. And Jesus, always moved with pity for poor sinners, is moved in this moment with compassion. And so the decision that Jesus has to face is, do I condemn her or do I not? And so the moment of discernment begins. Jesus begins to write on the ground. And so many people have asked, what is Jesus writing? Is he writing their sins? Is he writing the Ten Commandments? I believe journaling is a form of prayer where the pen to the paper, we cannot lie. We speak from our heart. It is a form of prayer for us in journaling where we're expressing ourselves to God. And we're also asking God for assistance. We're putting to Him our needs. We're giving to Him questions. Journaling is a form of prayer. Jesus is journaling. And perhaps what He's writing is, Father, come to my assistance. Come, Holy Spirit, inspire me. Move in me, your discerning spirit. And help me in this moment to discern God's will. I know what the law says, because I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the fulfillment of the law, and the law is love. But the law says that this woman is a sinner. And the response in that law says that she is to be stoned, condemned, killed, and that would be righteous. But if I do that, Father, they would accuse me of trying to impose a law that is only right for the Romans to do, which is to put capital punishment in the face of this situation, to condemn another to die. But if I don't accuse her, then I would be accused of not being faithful to you, Father, and not applying the Mosaic law in the right way and in the right manner. Father, I put these things to you. Help me to do your will. Help me to know what to do. You see, in the rules of discernment, we must be indifferent to that we're bringing to God. We can't have a presupposed decision already, as oftentimes we do, that we already know what we want and we bring it to prayer and we want God to want what we want. That's not called discernment. That's called negotiation. Jesus shows us true discernment, that He is not making a decision. He's putting it before God. God, here's the two things, the two choices in front of me. Lord, what is your will? And let your will be done. And the Father says, my son, be merciful as your Father is merciful. Help them to examine their own hearts and their own conscience. Send forth the Holy Spirit to them to illumine their hearts and illumine their minds, to show them their own sinfulness and help them to be contrite of heart, to be merciful the way I, your Father, am merciful. So Jesus puts the question back to them. He makes them discern what to do. He allows the Holy Spirit to illumine their hearts and their minds at what is the true spirit of the law. Yes, the law says this woman must be condemned. She must die. But the law is about love, loving God with all your heart, mind, body, soul, and strength, and then loving your neighbor as yourself, meaning being merciful, forgiving, compassionate, and kind. And we know that the Holy Spirit moves everyone there to the point that they do exactly what the Father would do. And that is forgive. Forgive from the heart. And to say, go and sin no more.